Stugatz here. I know there's a lot going on right now in the world, and we're all shopping online. I just saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, no-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your own home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. In regards to the Carolina Panthers moving former owner Jerry Richardson's statue from the front of Bank of America Stadium, Richardson's spokesperson says that he has, quote, turned the page, he's moved on, the statue is not his focus. Red Sox manager and Astros bench coach Alex Cora is taking responsibility for his role in the sign-stealing saga, but also says he and Carlos Beltran were not the driving forces behind it, and all the players should take the blame. And finally, just thinking about a plan B can make you less likely to achieve plan A, according to research published in Organizational Behavior and Human Decision Processes, one of my favorites. The latest 30 for 30 Long Gone Summer, directed by A.J. Schnock, takes viewers back to the summer of 1998, when the St. Louis Cardinals' Mark McGwire and the Chicago Cubs' Sammy Sosa embarked on a chase of one of the game's most hallowed records, igniting the passion and imagination of fans and non-fans everywhere. Long Gone Summer premieres this Sunday, June 14th, 9 Eastern, on ESPN and ESPN2. The film will be available to stream on ESPN Plus following the debut. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
John Amici played many years in the NBA. It is one of the least interesting things about him. We enjoy talking to him about all sorts of things. So let's begin, John, and thank you for joining us. What do you do with the news that the NFL is now ready to commit $250 million over the next 10 years to social causes?
So I'm happy that they're going to spend some money. I think spending money in lieu of actually changing is pretty rich. I mean, how could you have any respect at all for Colin Kaepernick and embrace this message wholeheartedly would be my take. What a truly magical Negro George Floyd must be in order for the NFL to suddenly change on a dime like that. None of the other deaths that happen on a daily, weekly basis move them. Not the dignified protest of one of their own. No, that caused constructive dismissal. But somehow this is their moment. It makes absolutely no sense and is a disgraceful show to me. And again, send that money, do it right now, to all the right causes, and take no credit for it, because they don't deserve any.
And so what do you do with, for example, same thing with NASCAR, and finally listening to their one black driver and saying, okay, now we'll get rid of the Confederate flag?
This is nothing to do with that one black driver. They could give a damn about him. This is to do with a sensitivity in the public at large and a scrutiny from television about when it finally gets back on television. This is, I mean, when do we reward people for doing something that was known to be terrible in the 1900s for continuing that for another century? I mean, we've known that that's what that flag stands for. Symbolism in America is deeply important. It's deeply important in the United Kingdom too, but we've known that this is a flag that is not about anything but a traitorous group. And that's a British person saying that. It would be like having a British flag on your thingy, except even that would be less offensive now.
Meech, are you questioning the timing and sincerity on all of this? Is that what I sense you're doing here?
I think you're picking up what I'm putting down. Good. You know, and listen, I will take it that good causes are aided by the guilt of rich white men. But what I will not have is that their misdeeds, their consistent and ongoing misdeeds, are somehow eradicated by this one act of largesse.
Stugatz is raising a finger in here like Joe Namath. I noticed you threw sincerity in there with timing, and you didn't just...
That was important.
You didn't just...
Listening, Dano.
Meech, why were you upset at economic advisor Larry Kudlow? What is it that he said that bothered you recently?
I don't know. When was I upset with Larry Kudlow?
I thought that I saw on Twitter that you were bothered with the idea that he had said that there is no systemic racism in the United States.
Yeah,
oh, now I'm reminding you.
Yeah. No, you know what the problem is? I have taken to electively dropping the names of people I hate out of my brain. I just think they shouldn't occupy my hard drive. And so I completely forgot. But now you said it, I can see his ridiculous frame in a bad suit. Listen. The idea, why are we asking people like that about important questions? I was on a panel the other day on TV here in the UK where they were asking about the 2 meter distance and should we keep the 2 meter? And it's like the person next to me was a television personality. The person on the other side was just some bloke. And it's like, I work in public health and even I think this is a conversation we should leave to the scientists. So the fact that he thinks he can talk about systemic racism and deny it unequivocally when it's a subject that's been studied for years and years and is one of those things that is more roundly accepted than climate change. It's just ridiculous. The boldness of it to dismiss a systemic prejudice on the basis of what you would prefer to be true and what is a more politically correct line for that particular individual. Disgusting.
Where do you think we're going to be in 6 months, John?
You know what? I've looked back on all my pontificating over the years and the number of times that I've sat with people talking about how, with the question, so does this mean everything's going to change? And my answer over the years, I can make a tape of it, is just, I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. But every time I listen to that, I hope so, it's a little bit less sure. And it's never been less sure than right now. I think there will be some assist because people like the NFL and others will pay to assuage their guilt, knowing that it gives them some runway to continue to be truly terrible. And so maybe in the short term, some organizations, some funds will be enhanced. But will systemic racism change? No.
I'm surprised to hear you say that you're less hopeful now that you've been, because this feels like a more hopeful time. Like, you're just not buying that that it can endure?
The kind of change that's required, people are very quick to talk about allyship, and that's what's required, right? Allyship. It's not just black people who need to fortify themselves and vote and whatever else. These are important elements, but we need allyship. But people think allyship is I don't know, reading a James Baldwin book. But that's not it. Educating yourself. The number of people, Dan, the number of people this week who I've been talking to on television, and they've been saying things like, I never realized that white people cross the street when you walk towards them. I can't believe it. And I am so saddened and exhausted by this. Because it's not that they're racist because of that. But what it means is they have not had the information they require to be an ally. And some of these people are 50 and 60 years old. So they have not, in the course of 50 or 60 years, in a city as diverse as London, ever once had an instance where they've created a connection with a black person that's strong enough to know this information. And that is devastating. And so while I think lots of people, lots of allies are learning things about their black and brown brothers who are being differentially treated, I am not sure that many people are going to be willing to endure that for much longer. And they're just going to hope that the news cycle will move on.
As you've made the television rounds, is there any one point or any group of points that you've been insistent on making because you need people to hear it?
Yeah, I've been telling people it's not enough to not be racist. It's not enough to not be racist. You have to be anti-racist. And that is not a controversial position. To be against the Nazi Party is not a controversial position. To be against people who believe that black people are less than human is not a controversial position. And I think that is the minimum we should expect in order to be civilized, to even call ourselves civilized. That's the one part. The second part is that what you can do as you decide to be anti-racist, you, most people don't have, and I think I said this last time, this massive influence over the whole world. But what they can do is they can decide that maybe the people who live in their circle, who they have a beer with on a Friday, maybe they can decide that however good the jokes that this bloke tells, maybe he shouldn't be in our circle because he's one of those guys who thinks that it's pretty funny to tell racist jokes. I think the minimum we should ask of people is to be active allies who use their privilege to make life better for everybody and to ensure that they do not allow into their circle people who are racist.
What have you heard in the last couple of weeks about police reform that has made sense to you?
Nothing. Nothing. I think it's such an incredibly difficult, complex problem because people like to believe the, you know, the thing I've heard again and again and again is the bad apples narrative, right? People love that narrative. They think that police reform is a question of the removal of two or three people from each police force. You know, it's just a handful of people here or there, and they forget what the tail of the bad apple is, right? It spoils the bunch. It spoils the barrel. One bad apple spoils the bunch, spoils the barrel. All you need to do is look at Buffalo. They threw that old man down on the floor and then strided over him while his head bled out onto the pavement. I mean, in what universe is that man a threat? And then when those officers who did that, or the officer did that, was sanctioned, the entire group resigned from that tactical unit. And so is it really one bad apple? Shouldn't a conscientious group of people whose bloody motto is to protect and serve, shouldn't a group of people who are supposed to uphold that abhor the idea that anybody would abuse their power, not least of which because of the stain that it puts on them and their uniform? But no, this is not what we see. And that's why police reform, the 18,000 different types of private unit that we have, the elected process of it, means that the kind of people who will end up there will end up having to sign up to the omerta, the kind of the code of silence internally, because they know that their survival as a police officer relies upon the fact that their brother will have their back, and that their brother officer may not have their back if they're the kind of officer who speaks out against this.
I'm legitimately baffled in 2020, Stugatz, honestly, how it can be a controversial position to request that the police not be brutal. Like, legitimately baffled how that is a side-taking position, just requesting that the police not be brutal. But we're going to lighten this up a little bit here by playing Stump the Meech with John Amici in the next segment. He was 0 for 5 last time. It was embarrassing. We'll see if he does better in the next segment.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch new Shower Sessions videos now at youtube.com/progressive. Missing baseball? Tune in Sunday night for an MLB classic, Game 7 of the 2014 World Series between the Giants and Royals, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We'll continue with John Amici in just a second. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Mike Ryan, did I hear you correctly? Are this group of Stump the Meech nominees just from the last week, because you've only been able to grab the new stuff in the last week, because we did this with him a week ago when he went 0-5?
This is the quickest turnaround we've ever had to do on a Stump the Meech, so I only have a catalog that's a week old.
Wow.
Okay, so you've got a chance here, John Amici, who has only won this once, and he won it one time because we were not in our studio and didn't have access to make them harder on the fly.
Yeah. It's just once. And I'll let you know that the game is five choices, and I kept it as such, even though it's an advantage to the challenger.
All right, let's do this. The first Stugatz mispronunciation for Stump the Meech is?
Criminals.
Hmm. Criminals.
Criminals.
Is that your final answer?
Hmm. Criminals.
Too easy.
Yeah, it seems easy, right? Yeah.
Again, we've only got the last week to work with. Criminals is his final answer.
That is correct.
Criminals.
Right.
Meech.
He
good
is.
Job.
He is. Stuff. That's nice.
That's the easy stuff, Meech.
That is the easy one. You got the easy one wrong last time.
I did.
Here
I'm all right,
is I'm all right. The second Stump the Meech.
Important.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Again?
Important. Yep. Important. Again, Meech? Important. Important.
I remember this one. I let this one fly because it's a bit of whack-a-mole with Stugatz.
You were very kind with me. Important.
I either think it's appointment or important. I'm going to go with one more time, please.
Important.
Oh, no, it's not important. Yeah, I'm going to go with important.
Important.
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
He is 2-0 now. He is, because I wanted to point out that you said important the way Elmer Fudd would say important.
Nice. You did too.
You were gentle then, not so much now.
All right, well, let's see what we've got here, because I don't think he's ever started 2-0 before.
Now I got to recalibrate here. I got to go with the hard stuff, because if he gets the next one right, it's guaranteed victory.
But I like when he goes 2-0, because the confidence, you can hear it. It's mounting. He's gaining confidence.
I don't think he's ever gone 2-0.
Oh, so, come on now. This is live.
All right, so let's hear the third one, Stump the Meech. Oh, Mike.
Yeah, I gotta reshuffle the deck.
Okay, hold on a second.
No, I'm ready to go.
He's cheating. I see what's happening.
No, I'm reshuffling the deck. That's all I'm doing.
he's trying to get to a game five, Meech.
I gotta build the suspense.
All right, let's do the third one here.
Port.
It's not fun when he gets it right. It's not, it really isn't.
Port. Well, you ain't getting that right, so.
Port. I don't know what the hell that is.
Port. Port. Port.
That's probably like three words, isn't it?
Port. Entire sentence.
It's the Emancipation Proclamation.
What's that? Port. Port.
Not a good time to say that.
I'm almost tempted to say important again, but I don't think it is. So,
port.
One more time.
Port.
Point.
It's partly.
Yeah.
Partly.
I remember that one, actually.
That's fine. That's
fine. I remember it.
What do you mean?
I mean, just how ridiculous it is. That is not two syllables. It's not. It's just not. It's a single syllable.
Port.
It's not three syllables. It's just a syllable.
Port.
What do we have here?
Meech is up 2-1.
He is up 2-1, and here is game four.
Hey, what?
I know what this is, actually.
That's not even a good sound.
This is dangerous. I think I know what this is.
Hey, what?
Let's go,
Meech.
Hey, what?
Let's see what we have here. Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
That's what I would have guessed.
I can't work under these conditions.
Oh, wow.
Don't ever put me in this situation ever again.
Wow, Meech. Unbelievable.
Oh, exponentially better.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise.
Yes.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your Sports Center update. In regards to the Carolina Panthers moving former owner Jerry Richardson's statue from the front of Bank of America Stadium, Richardson's spokesperson said that he has, quote, turned the page, he's moved on, the statue is not his focus. Former Red Sox manager and Astros bench coach Alex Cora is taking responsibility for his role in the sign-stealing saga, but also says he and Carlos Beltran were not the driving forces behind it, and all the players should take the blame. And finally, when not considering leap years, if you were to count continuously one number per second without eating or sleeping, it would take you 31 years, 251 days, 13 hours, 34 minutes, and 55 seconds to count to 1 billion. Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, continues this Sunday following the latest 30 for 30 premiere of Long Gone Summer. The film takes viewers back to the landmark 1998 baseball season. Its tremendous highlights, massive impact, and undeniable complications. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the podcast. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
It is rare for an athlete to say something that doesn't have a lot of precedent. It is rarer still for an athlete to do so in one of those antiseptic NBA press conference settings after a playoff game. But today is the 9-year anniversary of something that I had not heard before in a press conference setting, which is great athlete being questioned and reminding his fans that they're broke and he's not.
Does it bother you that so many people are happy to see you fail?
Absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, all the people that was rooting on me to fail, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow, have the same life that they had before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems that they had today, you know, and I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things that I want to do with me and my family and be happy with that. So, you know, they can get a few days or a few months or whatever the case may be on being happy about not only myself, but the Miami Heat not accomplishing their goal. But, you know, they got to get back to the real world at some point.
Not his finest moment. I mean, it's either that or getting posted up by J.J. Barea.
I don't think that that was as bad as I remember it. Like, what I just heard there didn't have telling people flatly that they don't have as much money as he does. It was telling people flatly that they have more personal problems than he does.
He merely insinuated you were poor.
Includes money. Ooh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. They
didn't tell you to your face you were poor. He just insinuated it.
Well, more than that though, and I think I want to hear it again because because the way I remember it is him just flatly telling people that they were broke compared to him. And that's not exactly what he said, but it is what I remember.
Does it bother you that so many people are happy to see you fail?
Absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, all the people that was rooting on me to fail, you know, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow and have the same life that they had before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems that they had today. You know, and I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things that I want to do with me and my family and be happy with that. So, you know, they can get a few days or a few months or whatever the case may be on being happy about not only myself, but the Miami Heat not accomplishing their goal. But, you know, they got to get back to the real world at some point.
You're so right, because I don't remember the soundbite being that long. I remember like, hey, you're broke. I'm not.
That's how you remember it?
Yes.
9 years ago. That's stunning that that's 9 years ago.
I was on my bachelor party. I went to Vegas. I lost so much money because he let J.J. Barea post them up, and he won an entire finals game scoring less than 10 points. We were having a flight back, and to save money, we had a stopover in Dallas, and we were all wearing our Heat stuff, already covered in shame because it was hard enough getting to the airport. We upgraded. Like, no stopover in Dallas.
A minor correction. I don't know which one's most embarrassing. Letting J.J. Barea post you up or not posting up successfully J.J.
Yes,
Barea. But the one that he did was the latter.
Yes.
Was not successfully post up J.J. Barea. Passed the ball while J.J. Barea seemed to be caught in the bottom of his shorts.
Yeah, very true. How did that team beat Miami?
I don't know. It felt so good towards the end of game one, remember?
I mean, true fact, outside of Dirk, everyone that was on that Mavericks roster was as old as they are now.
Such a bad roster.
Jason Kidd was the same age. Sean Marion was the same age.
Who's the second best player on
Jason
that?
Jason Terry?
Oh,
same age.
The Jet.
No, Tyson Chandler was probably the second best player.
Second best. Well, I thought in that series, Deshaun Stevenson might have
been. He was one of those annoying, like, remember Brian Cardinal, the custodian?
Cards.
There was a couple of guys that just got in there and annoyed LeBron James that had no business doing so. The custodian, Deshaun Stevenson, and J.J. Barea.
Was Josh Howard on that team, or was he?
I think they moved him. Man, he was a star streaking across the sky, wasn't he?
Well, do you remember that he at one point said that he was joking at a softball game one time, and he said that he wouldn't stand for an anthem. Like, that was something that he said. Boy, the tides have shifted on that one.
To answer your question, no, I don't remember Josh Howard saying
that. That's true, yes. He had his own controversy. He says, I'm black. I don't believe in the anthem. I believe he just said that flatly at, like, Allen Iverson's charity softball game or something. I'm pretty sure I've got the details on that right.
He was an all-star 1 year, Josh Howard.
He was. Yeah.
Why don't I remember this?
Stugatz, did you see the video of Jokic that was making the rounds yesterday? Did you see this in any way? The answer is going to be no, because it doesn't seem like Stugatz has retained anything.
Twitter's here for promoting supodities and
but
retweeting compliments.
He's in the sports news business, and I don't think I've asked him a question in 3 months where he knows what's going on in sports.
Well, they're not playing sports. What happened with the Joker?
He looks 100 pounds lighter.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was Porzingis.
Yeah.
I was confused. He looked so skinny.
Super slim. I don't know how this is going to work out for him. Everyone's just like, wow, he's in shape. This must be good for him. And I'm like, he's pretty good carrying the weight that he was. Maybe this is going to be different.
It is stunning to see how much lighter he looks. And he used to look like a loaf of bread. We were always talking about this dude looks like a loaf of bread. He's super thick. My guess is that his strength in the paint has something to do with that thickness. And now I just could not believe how much weight he's
lost. I mean, nothing is going to happen to his skill, but I imagine just his general girth might help. He's a very good rebounder. He was wearing a jacket, though, so we couldn't confirm if his arms were bleeding or not.
Would you not guess, though, that he, about 100 pounds of weight loss?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
He
didn't weigh much to begin with.
I remember
he was
starting
thick.
If you saw the Nuggets last, it was noticeable to the eye that Jokic was shaping up a little bit, but it certainly wasn't this. And he has lost, I would say, I would agree with you, 100 pounds. 100 pounds, probably.
Can it possibly be that I don't know what he's listed at. I thought he was one of the heavier players in the NBA. So the idea that he would be able to go from 320 to 220 sounds ridiculous. Like, even having seen the video, even having been shocked by how much lighter he looks, 100 pounds is an enormous amount of weight to lose, and it 100 pounds should be something that changes you from a center to a small forward. Like, if I tell you I'm going to take 100 of Karl Malone's pounds.
It says he's 284, listed 7 foot. I don't know if he looks like a 300-pounder. That's pretty close. Not anymore, though. He doesn't look like a 300-pounder anymore. How do you think this is going to work out with the NBA and no real home court advantage?
I mean, Mike, how do you think – we got to get into this in the next segment. How do you think it's going to work out that reporters are seeing memos that they have to stay at Disney World for 3.5 months without being able to leave? We'll get into that next.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Dan, it's time for the movie of the day. It's brought to you by Redbox. It is Marv Albert's birthday. Happy birthday to him. In honor of him, the three best movies with Marv Albert making an appearance. Number three, Trainwreck. Number two, Forget Paris. And number one, an absolute classic. Top five basketball movie of all time. Eddie. Redbox has top entertainment when you need it most. If you're in the mood for a thriller, don't miss The Invisible Man starring Elizabeth Moss. Make it a movie night and visit Redbox.com for all the ways you can watch.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Is Eddie a top five basketball movie of all time? Also put on the poll, based on what we were talking about to open the show, is Dave Chappelle the best comedian ever? Yes or no? Speaking of movies, Dugatz, one of the things that is enjoyable about watching young people get informed or introduced to new information is, I guess there's a whole generation of people who think that Ice Cube is just the family movie guy and don't realize that what he's doing on Twitter right now lines up with where it is that he is socially as the guy who in his 20s, at a dangerous time to be doing it, in a dangerous area to be doing it, was doing F the Police as part of NWA. And so what you see Ice Cube doing now on Twitter is only shocking if you are someone who thinks of him as a guy who makes family comedies. Because one of the most amazing things of my lifetime. Look, man, I told you, Snoop Dogg going mainstream after a murder trial was shocking enough. But Ice Cube doing family movies and sort of being accepted by the establishment as family movie guy, given where it is. Can you imagine how shocking it was? I don't know, is this late 80s or early 90s? For a song, as Luther Campbell is taking his lyrics to the Supreme Court, for a song to simply say from the West Coast, F the Police. It was a very shocking thing to have happened, and it's something that Ice Cube was doing in his 20s. So I don't know. Is that what's happening there, Mike? Are people not familiar with his past when they're being shocked by Ice Cube having some viewpoints that can be seen as extreme and people are saying anti-Semitic in some cases? I don't know how to read into some of that
stuff. We bring
in
Mike. I'll sit this one out. You just keep doing the Ice Cube thing that you've done for 15 years and we'll be good.
You're going to sit that one out?
I'm so bored by it. Just doing family movies. It's one of the go-tos.
But you correct me if I'm wrong. Is that what's happening there, that people don't understand what Ice Cube's views are? Or is it the three-on-three league?
I am increasingly feeling older and older. I just saw Anthony describe himself as thankfully not someone who grew up in the boy band era. So people are getting younger. I'm getting older. That's how this happens.
But okay. You're worried there's a bunch of people out there going, hey, is that the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Like, and all these family movies?
I don't know what you're talking about. You got it wrong. I don't think Ice Cube is part of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine isn't family movies. So I don't know what you're doing there.
Well, Ice Cube is a part of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's been in a couple of episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But are you concerned that there's a generation of people who just don't know who Ice Cube is?
That's not a movie, but... Okay, never mind. We'll move on. Nobody wanted to help me this segment. We will move on. Billy, you were saying, and I'm not dragging you into the things that we're talking about now, but yes, go ahead. Billy is shaking.
Are you thinking of Terry Crews, Stugatz?
No, I'm telling you, Ice Cube's been in a couple of episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
You're telling me?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep, mm-hmm. I am. I can't wait for you to get to it.
He was a writer on one episode.
He was in it, I think.
He's only credited as a writer. I haven't seen every episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but I'm trying to figure out what you were doing.
Getting it wrong.
Reading the internet wrong?
Yep.
Just trying to be a part of the conversation and failing? Is that time?
I was trying to help you out. I mean, no one else was. In here. I'm going to pay a fine for trying to help you. I mean...
You're going to turn this into Brother Teresa, that this was an act of altruism? You were trying to help, and therefore you read the internet wrong in a way that made Ice Cube somebody who was starring in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is not a movie.
Yes, I felt badly. I felt like you were very alone, and I was trying to be there for you in a way that you never are for me.
Stugatz, please, dear God, keep your help to yourself.